6th Canto, Chapter 10, Text Number 4. Translation. In this material world, every living entity is very much addicted to his material body, struggling to keep his body forever. Everyone tries to protect it by all means, even if at the sacrifice of all his possessions. Therefore, who would be prepared to deliver his body to anyone, even if it were demanded by Lord Vishnu? Report by Rangrazes and Bhakti. It is said, Atmanam Sarvam Rakshi Tato Dharmam Tato Dhanam. One must protect his body by all means, then he may protect his religious principles and therefore his possessions. That is the natural desire of all living entities. No one wants to give up his body unless it is forcibly given away. Even though the demigods said that they were demanding Dadichi's body for their benefit, in accordance with the order of Lord Vishnu, Dadichi superficially refused to give them his body. And it says up there 1 through 4, so the other verses, just introduction. Text 1. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, after instructing Indra in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, then and there disappeared from the presence of the onlooking demigods. O King Parikshit, following the Lord's instructions, the demigods approached Dadichi, the son of Atharva. He was very liberal, and when they begged him to give them his body, he at once partially agreed. However, just to hear religious instructions from them, he smiled and jokingly spoke as follows, O elevated demigods, at the time of death, severe, unbearable pain takes away the consciousness of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Don't you know about this pain? And then the verse we just read. In the material world, every living entity is very much addicted to his body, struggling to keep his body forever. Everyone tries to protect it by all means, even at the sacrifice of all his possessions. Therefore, who would be prepared to deliver his body to anyone, even if it were demanded by Lord Vishnu? Om Jana Tavirandasya Janakalakaya Chaksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manovisam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Swaparantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Parakamam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Satrajatam Sahagana Raghunathambitam tam sajivam Sabetam savarutam parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakambitam Vanchakalpa Tiruvyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Sajitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Panchatapakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupak Sarupakam Bhaktavatanam Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakti Shaktikam. So maybe you know this story, that you know the history if you've been following. The demigods needed his bones or something. So the point here is that, and anybody can see that very strongly, that everyone loves his body. And just like we have that one business here that started in England, now it's all over the world, the body shop. Brilliant name for the business. Very quickly became one of the biggest businesses in the world. You know, I went in once in Japan and asked them if I could buy a new body there, but they didn't understand. But to take care of your body, practically everything that we see out there is cosmetics, clothes, you know, things to decorate the body, take care of the body, feed the body, you know, so-called health, exercise. And this is what Yudhisthira said, Ahani, Ahani, Bhutani, Ahoyad, Yamalaya, that although everyone has gone to Yamaraj, there's no evidence except for a few people that live forever. Everyone is thinking, I'll make a permanent arrangement. I can stay here. I will be different. And even if they don't exactly think that, if you ask people, but they're living as if they will, you know, they're arranging things as if they're not going to die. They don't like to plan. I even heard that selling life insurance sometimes is difficult because people don't want to think about that they're going to die. You know. They'd rather go on. One devotee, I know he sells life insurance. He does really good. He became very quickly like the top salesman or something. He's just preaching to them. You're going to die. Very convincingly and in a nice way, and then he gives them a Bhagavad Gita, so they buy the insurance. Yeah, he's much happier than his previous job. So Didichi is going, he's willing actually, he's not attached, but he's just joking with the demigods so that they'll preach to him. He says, how much everyone's addicted to their body, and they're struggling because if you keep your body nice, and that's a fact, then you can practice your religion, you can preserve your possessions. But when it comes down to a choice, you know, someone will give away everything to try to preserve his body. And we work very hard at that. But everybody at some point has to let go, so it's better to think about that ahead of time. Bhakti Chittimaj made a very nice book during his last period, and her die before you die, you know, let go, in other words, you know, so you're ready for it, because when you do leave your body, it, you know, might be very painful. Just some people with some kind of disease, it's very painful for a long time sometimes. But if they just accept, okay, I'm not this body, and it's not in my hands, and they can at least be peaceful. And for us, of course, we're preparing to for continuing service. There's some movie, they have billboards all over now. It says, if you live forever, then what would you live for? I don't know what the point of it is, but you know, what's the, if you're never going to die, then people would, you know, what are they going to do? Because, but everyone's thinking, I won't die, I can stay young, or, you know, they'll find a cure for the disease, or they'll, you know, they'll find a way to replace the broken parts, and they do keep making promises like that, although they don't succeed. But the soul is eternal. The soul doesn't die. And that's the message of Bhagavad Gita. That's the first message, practically. The soul is never born and never dies. And it can't be destroyed, you know, by any heat or fire or wind or cold or weapon or any of the things that we're all afraid of. It can destroy the body, the manifestation of the body, but the soul is eternal. So when someone gets more and more awareness that they are the soul, then we take care of the body because we need it to carry the soul around in our conditioned state so that we can serve Krishna with this body. Otherwise, maintaining a material body is useless. Just a huge endeavor that everyone has to go to maintain their body. to eat and then dress it and bathe it, and after eating, I have to digest and have to deal with that, and on and on and on. And we all see how much time we lose just trying to take care of the body, especially as we're getting older, right? Things break down, the teeth are falling out, or the teeth are rotting out, or the, you know, you feel like Dhritarashtra. The Guru went to him and told him, look, you're already blind, and now your teeth are rattling, and you're gurgling and coughing, and your ears are ringing, and you're, you know, and still you're just trying to live, and you're living off the people that are your enemies. So you're just like a dog, and, you know, what are you doing? And you woke him up. That's a mercy. So we're telling people, I remember when I first joined the movement, devotees very often, they were always saying, you're going to die, everyone's going to die, you know, you're going to die. And people thought, why are you so pessimistic? And devotees were thinking that was very optimistic because they, you know, they were thinking that you can go to back to Godhead and you should be prepared for it. But the karmis think, oh, I don't want to think about that. No. Why do you want to talk about that? No, nobody's going to die. There's so much protection, you know. There's security now, and, you know, no problem. And we've got, we've got so many things that are supposed to protect us. The government helps, like I saw in a Liverpool station. They put in at Christmas time, they put a special hospital tent right in the station for the people that drank so much from the Christmas parties. They take care of the people. You don't have to worry, right? If you fall on your face drunk, that expert doctors will be there that know how to deal with it. So there's so many ways like that. And then promising, you know, okay, now we have all of so many anti-terrorist things, but it doesn't work. And even if they could stop the terrorists and stop the wars and stop the AIDS and stop the malaria and all the different things, still everyone's going to die. That's material body is not internal. We know of a few exceptions like Vasudev and I guess Parashuram, and who else is a Shirinjiva? Hanuman, yeah, a few that are living. But even there, somehow at the end of the sometime, end of the universe or something, they also leave that body, or they leave the planet. But the soul is eternal. And that's what we're trying to cultivate, that's what we're trying to make people aware of who you really are. You're not that body. But not just that you're not the body, and then, you know, then what am I? And then people can't imagine anything because all they know is the body. But the soul, what is the soul? Is eternal and blissful, not the mind. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that there's always a conflict between the mind and the soul. They're at odds with each other because the soul is blissful, is eternal. And the mind is changing all the time. The soul is steady. So the idea is to realize that and think about it. What am I, and then what am I supposed to be doing? The soul, what is the natural position of the soul? Jivana Swarupoi, Nichara Krishna Das, the servant of Krishna. Sanatana Goswami was humbly telling Lord Chaitanya, I don't even know who I am. I'm supposed to be wise man, pundit, and, you know, I know so much, and knowledgeable in so many ways. You know, he was a prime minister of the whole of Bengal, and they were kind of, the king was conquering all over the place. But Lord Chaitanya just told him, you're the eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone is the eternal servant of Krishna. Didn't tell him any specifics, you know, what kind of servant. But that is our constitutional position. No matter what rasa, no matter what, you know, you're in, it's service to Krishna. And then Vaikuntha, everyone is completely aware of that. Everyone is just serving Krishna. And rasa being out, even in a tree or the cow or the people, all the different types of people. Everyone is in ecstasy just thinking that to serve Krishna, that they're the soul and the soul's business is to please Krishna. But that's what bhakti yoga, the process is very nice because it just gives us an awful facility to do that, to act on the spiritual platform, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, hearing about Krishna, you know, hearing Krishna Katha. That's a, that's a day in the spiritual world. It's talking about Krishna all the time, glorifying Krishna, chanting the name of Krishna, planning how to serve Krishna. So the bhakti yoga process, and Prabhupada very kindly delivered daily to anyone and everyone, making temples all over the world where people can come and associate with devotees. Because by associating with devotees, then we hear about Krishna, we hear the holy name, we see the deities, and, you know, get a chance to render service. And by doing that, then we become liberated, become aware of who we actually are. And then he gives us that special opportunity to go and give it to others. Yesterday I went out, it was interesting, I went out the day before, and you know, it was one of those days when it looked like everybody, you know, was, you know, like 9/11 was right behind them or something, you know, and everybody just in panic and running, and you know, they can't see anything, and he's chasing them from behind. And then yesterday, everybody was really nice. And I was thinking, how can something like this be pleasurable? Because it's very cold, and you know, for the most part, you get tied to an old age, you get a cramp from holding a book. And, you know, it's just cold, and most people don't pay much attention. But I just thought it must be because I feel very, very happy. So it must be because Krishna is pleased with the endeavor. Whenever we try to do service, any kind of service, it may not in itself be something that, you know, should produce ecstasy. But it does, because when we're doing it for Krishna, and it's connected to Krishna, then Krishna reciprocates whatever we're trying to do for him. And he reciprocates much, much more. So devotees are just thinking, you know, how to, and how do we know how to please Krishna? What pleases a spiritual master? Spiritual master is guiding us. First thing, chant the holy name. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Yesterday we were hearing Prabhupada's class from Los Angeles. I remember I was there for that class. I remember very much. Especially the one part. Prabhupada had been on the morning walk. It was raining, so he drove around. He took a ride in the car. And he saw the big signboard for the cool cigarette. You've heard that, huh? So he was saying, you know, how can, this is Maya. He said, how can you smoke hot fire and be cool? So that is Maya. The cigarette is Maya. And still they're buying. He said, on and on. That was part of it. But he was saying how by sadhu sangha we're caught up in ignorance and ridaya granta, karma granti, the knot in the heart. And it's very complex knot. It's been building up, you know, and it's snarled like anything. And it started with sex desire, and you know, all the other desires just keep, you know, it can't be undone. And we have to cut it. And the sword, you know, is knowledge. And Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. By knowledge we can cut that knot and then become really freedom. Not the type of freedom that the materialists think. Freedom to enjoy their senses unlimitedly. That's in the name of freedom they're doing all kinds of nonsense. Like the human beings, they have a choice. They can control their senses. That's a special feature of the human. In be saying, like an animal, a dog, if you put some nice food, the dog is going to eat it. Maybe if you're standing there telling him don't touch it and he's trained, but as soon as you turn your back, he's going to go for it. He can't think, no, I shouldn't do this. Or, you know, I shouldn't go after this female dog. They have to. But the human, they have choice, but then we have to be trained in how to choose, what to choose. We can go to the temple, we can see the deity, we can hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Or we can, you know, if people go in with someone, go to the body shop and try to decorate your body. Or, you know, we see there on Oxford Street, there's these guys, they come and sell the cheap perfume, you know. And half the people come and they got the bag. It says devil. It's got the big shoe, you know, woman's shoe, like with the heel. And the bottom is the devil's trident thing. And the advertising is like the cigarette, that if you wear this perfume, then if you're a man and you want women, all the women will chase you. They'll be just mad after you. And if you're a woman and you want men, all the men will come after you. If you want whatever you want, you'll get it from putting the smell on your body. And I don't know if it works or not. But they're just, and people go for that. And they spend so much money trying to make their body nicer, more, you know, love it so much, decorating it and polishing it. And there's so many things. So that's what Medici is saying, and it said it as a joke. Then the demigod said, pious persons like you, demigods whose activities are, no, Didichi, pious persons like you, whose activities are praiseworthy, are very kind and affectionate to people in general. What can't such pious souls give for the benefit of others? They can give everything, including their body. It says that he just joked like that so he could hear the demigods preach a little bit. And sometimes we see people in a war or something, they'll sacrifice their body to try to protect others. Right? I think it was Uttara, right? She was saying, you can kill me, but don't kill the baby in the womb or something. There's a few famous people in American history that were ready to, they said, kill me, but don't kill someone else. You know, that people will do that. And there's many martyrs. We passed a church yesterday, the Church of the British Martyrs. And people that, they were killed for their religious sentiments and Jesus. They give up their life. You know, quite a few in the history of many different things. So they're telling him, like, in this case, it's directly the order of Vishnu. So, of course, it's very, very auspicious to give up your body and that. I'll just read one more. Those who are too self-interested beg something from others, not knowing of others' pain. But if the beggar knew the difficulty of the giver, he would not ask for anything. Similarly, he who is able to give charity does not know the beggar's difficulty, for otherwise he would not refuse to give the beggar anything he might want in charity. Report. This verse describes two people, one who gives charity and one who begs for it. A beggar should not ask charity from a person who is in difficulty. Similarly, one who is able to give charity should not deny a beggar. These are moral instructions from the Shastra. Chanakya Pandit says, Sam nimite niram chago tanaste nayate sati. Everything within this material world will be destroyed. Therefore, one should use everything for good purposes. If one is advanced in knowledge, he must always be prepared to sacrifice anything for a better cause. At the present moment, the entire world is in a dangerous position under the spell of a godless civilization. The Krishna consciousness movement needs many exalted, learned persons who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. We therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna consciousness movement and sacrifice their lives for the great cause of reviving the God consciousness of human society. That's pretty strong. Now, that doesn't mean that we also should be out getting, well, I'll get crucified. Right? It means sacrificing the, you know, the so-called potential we had to enjoy materially, you know, have a nice sense gratification life, be the master of something, right? Be the controller. The Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada explains, and, you know, we come into the mature world because we want to be the controller, we want to be the proprietor. Ishvaraham Aham Bhogi, right? The demon says. That's what we come here for. And they exploit that. Now, I've said before, but a different place, but I was just in Nigeria, so they have one of the, like T-Mobile and all that, they have one called Glow. So they have signboards all over the city, and it says, rule your world. You know, if you have this phone, you'll rule the world. I had one, but things weren't going my way. I should have sued him, I guess. The airline wasn't cooperating, and I was sick, and, you know, it wasn't like what I wanted exactly. But they exploit that propensity that we have. We want to rule. We want to be the master. So they tell you, you can rule. Yeah. And if you look around at all the advertising, it's something like that. You can enjoy. You can get whatever you want. You know, if you get this thing, you know, you can enjoy. You can borrow this money and buy that. You can go here and there. So give all that up. Give it up. That life. But really get a life by taking up the service of Krishna, and especially the Sankirtan movement, Lord Chaitanya and special mercy of the Lord, that we can do that. We have a better life, a real life. Real life connected with Krishna, not just a dead man walking or something. Just, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, those who aren't serving Krishna, they're just exhibiting the symptoms of life. You know, they're not really living. Just keep moving around here and there, eating, sleeping, doing everything, but there's no life. They're just lifeless. So it's a very strong statement in which we want all of us to work. And of course, it's a very big mission, and many, many things have to be done nicely so that we can have programs that reach out to the conditioned souls. But everything is meant for that. The temple is meant to bring more and more people in and let them hear the holy name, let them see the deity, let them, you know, taste prasadam and get books, because the books are going everywhere. The books are influencing people all over the world and, you know, waking people up. Now people are more and more concerned about the environment. And if they're really Krishna conscious, and if we're really Krishna conscious, then we become more and more aware, right? Like I see here now, we're recycling things, and, you know, we're even becoming a little conscientious. It's also good preaching, but of course the foremost thing is the Sankirtan movement, that the devotees chanting the holy name of the Lord and pushing Kali back, because Kali is pushing his agenda, you know. Everywhere in the world I go, I see casinos coming up, and, you know, more and more meat shops, and like in India, you know, God, it wasn't 30 years ago, these things. Now every other shop, the whiskey and meat, and, you know, people are forgetting their real life. So we have to help, we have to preach, we have to be thinking, how can we meet people? How can we share this? How can we give books? How can we give prasadam? Of course, devotees are giving so much prasadam everywhere. in London especially, it's quite big. From all different angles, devotees are going out, giving people prasadam, and people are appreciating it. In that campus over there, where they call it Soas, even in their booklet or whatever it is, where they say about restaurants, it says you can get a free lunch from the Hare Krishnas, you know, in the middle of it. One woman on the radio, she said she was worried about her son going to the university and what would he eat, and, you know, and she's so happy that Hare Krishnas are feeding him every day. She feels comfortable that he's getting good food every day. So, you know, all these things, and so many people, yesterday, somehow or other, yesterday Krishna was trying to encourage me, so that one girl stopped, and she just said right away, I have that book, and I said, well, you know, look at this one. I should have, I guess I should, you know. And then she started saying how she would love the Hare Krishna, and she was in Hungary at some festival. And, you know, everything was so good, the food is so good, and I gave her that mantra thing. She says, oh yeah, I sing that all the time, you know, I love it. I love Hare Krishna so much. So there are people like that. But only because devotees go to festivals, and devotees are out there, and devotees are making themselves available so that people can contact and get rescued from, you know, all this madness and learn to cope, you know, not only to take care of their body. The only reason to take care of the body is because the soul is inside. Everyone loves their body because they live in it. But they don't know who they are. So Lord Chaitanya is very kind. He's come with us. I know, Sankirtan, and books, and waking everybody up. So, it looks like many devotees here are out already, right? Traveling, distributing books. Devotees all over the world are doing as much as they can to distribute books. And more and more people are getting, you know, rescued and visiting temples, so we want to keep the temples very nice, and the devotees of the temple be very friendly and ready to greet everybody, and, you know, welcome them and spend time with them, teach them, you know, help them with their life so that they can practice Krishna consciousness. So we'll stop there, and on that nice statement of Prabhupada, the Krishna consciousness movement needs many exalted, learned persons who will sacrifice their lives to revive God consciousness throughout the world. We therefore invite all men and women advanced in knowledge to join the Krishna Conscious Movement and sacrifice their lives for the great cause of reviving the God consciousness of human society. So all of you are those, I guess, highly knowledgeable, great souls if given your life. And we're inviting everyone. But it's not, you know, the sacrifice means you give up suffering. Give up anxiety, give up, you know, all the things that are disturbing, give up being controlled by the whims of fashion and the need for, you know, so many things for the body, but just take care of it so you can use it to serve Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Any question or comment?
So he said it took him 20 years to understand this dream, and he said, could you talk about dying? So he said, I should kill the false ego daily.
Right. What's called, like taking sannyasa, is called social suicide. So joining, you know, surrendering to this ISKCON is social suicide, you know. No more drinking, no more partying, no more, you know, whatever life. Maybe your family even rejects you. But that's spiritual awakening. A sannyasi in Indian law is considered legally dead. So So even if he has debts, or you know, nobody can sue him. Of course, many people, they put on the dress and they're not really sannyasi, just to get some perks. But, yeah. So we're sacrificing our life, but you know, we're seeing we live much more, we live much better. But you know, for the people are thinking like, oh, we have to give up. But only we have to give up suffering, really, to give up all suffering. Then you connect with Krishna. If we're attached to suffering, attached to the causes of suffering, intoxication and all those things, then, I mean, keep Krishna at a distance. So we're just inviting everybody to just come. And people are attracted when they see the Buddha. Any other comment? Vishnu Bhakti. Anyone? Everybody has to work extra hard on this.
I met a man yesterday in the in the service area.
Yeah.
And he was in the bun. He was eating a burger. And he was looking at magazine, one of those forbidden magazines.
Yeah.
So I knocked the window and I presented the book to him, and he said, oh yes, this is good because you people, they changed my life. I was tramp from London.
Yeah.
And he was getting the food, the tea tree every day from Russia.
Yeah.
And he said, I've been taking your food here for 3 years from Canada. And then it brought me to my senses.
Uh-huh.
And I got a job. Yeah. I gave up the drugs, I gave up, you know, the street, and gave up. So I'm doing something with my life. I said, now it is time for you to give up, you know, this magazine. That's the only thing I've got left. I said, I'm giving the high taste. So there's always something, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah.
Again, he was appreciating, you know, the prasadam.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of people
have changed his life. And it's amazing, you know, that the time, you know, the prasadam turns people from trying to your community.
Many like that, I met.
You have a job, that's a driver.
Many like that around London. I met a couple, they had their own business now, and you know, they were doing really well. They said Hare Krishna saved their life when they were homeless. For some reason, the karma, you know, or whatever reason, that they would get prasadam. And Krishna arranged to be homeless on the street, then they get prasadam every day. The Association of Devotees and all those students at the university, they like so much the prasadam, and they're taking books and asking about it. They want to know what's going on. Very good. So, Hare Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. See you again.
Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sankirtan Book Distribution Ki Jai.